and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
After the hour of 12, classic Iron Maiden, right out of the belly of the beast. I have just emerged to join all of you high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And with my hands across America, my partner Rita Cosby is down in Florida, ready to host, as she has annually, the annual Troopathon. How goes all there in Gatorland?
Well, it is very busy, Curtis, and how exciting. This is the biggest fundraiser for troops in America. And we just locked in a Trump family member. We also have Iron Mike Tyson, who's going to be part of the Troopathon. And as you mentioned, I co-host it every year with Melanie Morgan and Move America Forward, raising lots of money for care packages for troops and their families. We are so excited. And it's a great way to tell our troops that we have not forgotten them, that we stand with them, that America loves them. And I can't wait. It's going to be tomorrow, 3 to 10 p.m. on Newsmax TV.
Well, let me tell you something. I had boots on the ground this morning because I had crawled into the belly of the beast. A huge two-page spread in today's New York Post with the title, The Eric Gardner Precinct, which is the 120th Precinct on the North Shore of Staten Island, is a battleground of junkies, cops, gangs, and guardian angels. And it is, without a doubt, right there on the corner of Bay Street and Victory Boulevard. People are passing by right now, and they're nodding their heads accordingly and saying, that's right, in Tompkinsville Park. It is the heroin capital of New York City. And it's not in a back alley. It's not in a basement. It's not hidden in some tenement in which you got to go through a phalanx of thugs in order to make your purchase and shoot up by putting a spike in your arm. It's right out in the open, Rita. It's just two blocks from Borough Hall, the offices of the borough president, Jimmy Otto. It's three blocks from the 120th Precinct. It is two blocks from the district attorney's office, Mike McMahon, in Staten Island. And they refuse to do anything to close down the open-air drug bazaar in which you can purchase heroin, fentanyl. You want oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, you got it. Xanax, Vicodin, Percocet. They deal out in the open. There are constant fights and battles and disputes. In fact, if you go to the Curtis and Cosby Facebook page, please go to the Curtis and Cosby Facebook page. You will see videos that I posted earlier in the day of an arrest that we made of two women who were fighting and slashing one another. The DEA refused to prosecute. As you know, a DEA can indict a ham sandwich. Even though we had witnesses, the guardian angels who had grabbed the woman, it was on video. Refusal to prosecute because they will not deal with anything in that area. And then you have two other videos. Imagine a guy falls down in the park. It's 12 noon, Rita. And all the vultures and buzzards in the surrounding air come running into the park. And you would think, oh, to turn him over, to give him CPR, to see if he's okay. You can watch them ripping him off, stomping him, kicking him, putting him within a half inch of his life as they take what few valuables he had. They took his pants. They took his shoes. They took his money. They left him with nothing, near death. It's all on tape. And the police officers refused to make any arrests.
Well, that's what's so incredible, Curtis, too, in that footage that I was looking at with you guys there, too, in the Guardian Angels. What I think is so just disgusting. Here it is. It's almost 4 years since Eric Garner was killed in that struggle with the NYPD officer. We all know the story about Officer Pantaleo. And here it is. What is so scary, I think, is that law enforcement, because there was so much controversy in what is now called Needle Park. Think about it. That area is now called Needle Park because there are so many needles there. And now law enforcement, because they got in such hot water and really crossed the line in many cases. Obviously, as it turned out, Eric Garner had health problems and other things, too. But there were a lot of questions about the way that that was handled. And because they were so much under the microscope, now they are afraid to lay down the law. And citizens there are so scared. They're so in terror and so in fear and counting on people like the Guardian Angels and others to bring finally some law and order to a place that it looks like there's no end in sight if law enforcement is not going to step in.
Well, this has been brought to the attention of the mayor, but, you know, he's down in Texas at the border. We'll talk about that later on. But remember, he's always vowing, he's always talking about,
we are America's safest big city.
So when it's brought to the attention of City Hall that you have an open-air drug bazaar where people are getting stabbed, they're getting beaten, they're getting robbed, there's open-air drug dealing of the most serious narcotics in existence, City Hall refuses to have any input. Naturally, O'Neill, the police commissioner, he is the lapdog of the mayor. So whatever the mayor says,
we are America's safest big city.
Police Commissioner O'Neill just repeats, yes,
we
boss.
We are America's safest big city.
So when I brought this to One Police Plaza's attention, they ignore it. Now, you say to yourself, Rita, it's gotten to the point, and I want people to call up, especially those who frequent the area, who have seen this become the worst drug dealing area in all of New York City. Worse than any area I've been in into the South Bronx. Worse than any in East Harlem, where there is a drug epidemic because of fentanyl, because of heroin use, because of oxycodone, hillbilly heroin. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But it is an open acknowledgement that we are going to allow these two blocks to be a red light district. People, Rita, come in there and park their cars, and they have Jersey plates. So that meant they paid the toll to come in either from the Outer Bridge Crossing, the Gothels Bridge, the Bayonne Bridge, because they know they can come to Bay Street, Victory Boulevard, Tompkinsville Park. They can buy their drugs, and they're not going to get arrested.
And you know what's so scary, too, Curtis? It all started out, too, as sort of a broken windows policy, if you will. And this goes back to Mayor Bill. You know, we had, of course, we had Bill Bratton, that partnership with Bill Bratton and Mayor de Blasio. Bill Bratton, one of the things he did do when he was head of the police department was he said, listen, we got to crack down on some of these smaller crimes because they rise up. And what's happened now under Commissioner O'Neill, because he has been, as you say, such a lapdog to Mayor de Blasio, he's allowed some of the smaller crimes and smaller crimes, and now it has escalated to really an all-out battlefield where it is called Needle Park. For a while there, they were just selling booze. They were doing some other stuff. That got, you know, they turned a blind eye to that, and now it has escalated to really just a drug war zone, which is absolutely scary. And as you point out, it's become an attraction for people out of state to come because they know they can get the drugs there. And how scary, because law enforcement is afraid of the headlines in that area, what happened to Eric Garner.
There were four guys on the Staten Island ferry that I took over this morning to crawl into the belly of the beast. They were on their way to Tompkinsville Park, clearly dope fiends. And they were there to score Xanax. And they told me openly. And they say, hey, you know, we do it in Brooklyn, we might get busted. We come out here to Staten Island, no cost to ride the ferry. It's a nice ride. We get to see the Statue of Liberty, you know, Ellis Island, you know, all the tourists are here. And remember, when these dope fiends score drugs, whether it's heroin or fentanyl or whether it's Xanax or Percocet, whatever it is their drug of choice is, they need money to do this, Rita. Do you think they're going to leave Staten Island, or are they going to shoplift in the stores of Staten Island? Of course. Are they going to boost products in Staten Island? Of course. Are they going to break into cars in Staten Island or do B&Es into nearby businesses and houses? Of course. So by allowing this seething cesspool of criminal drug dealing activity, the police are allowing crime to expand throughout the North Shore because that's how these dope fiends feed their habit.
No question. And listen, if people are able to have sort of free rein there and come in and get drugs and do whatever they want, the neighborhood, what's so scary is you see also in a number of the stories that have come out today, the neighborhood, there are a lot of people that are right there, like on the outlying area, and they are frightened. They're frightened to go out. They're frightened to do things. This is absolutely a crisis point. And the fact that law enforcement is so worried about the headline of something happening in the, quote, Eric Garner neighborhood again versus cracking down and doing the right thing is shameful.
I will tell you what I'm going to do. At 4 o'clock on Friday, I have a meeting at the borough president, Jimmy Otto's office, with the borough commander and the 120th precinct commander. And I'm going to tell them we're going old school. You guys refuse to deal with it?
We need you out there, Curtis. We need you guys out there.
I'll tell all of you first what I'm going to tell them to do. Old school, during the time when we cracked down on crack and you slam and jam. And you saw it in the documentary. We robbed drug dealers, gave the money to nearby soup kitchens. We will knock out the enforcers there who are members of the Latin Kings. We will then throw smoke bombs in the area and block off all traffic. And then that will force the cops to come into the area. And guess who they're going to end up locking up? You think they're going to end up locking up the Latin Kings?
Am I going to have to bail you out, Curtis? Am I going to have to bail you out?
You may have to do that. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling, in fact, from Staten Island. Welcome to WABC, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Curtis? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Jeff.
Yeah, I saw you at Memorial Day at the parade, and I'm a sanitation worker. I work right near Needle Park, and I have a story that's related. I'm like two blocks, maybe about a half a mile away from Needle Park, and I went down to the DA, and there was this belligerent drunk that's been acting up for the last past 3 years. I went down to the DA. They did nothing about it. They sent me down to the 120. They did nothing about it. They sent me down to Debbie Rose, and she wrote up a report. I don't know what to do. It's not related to Needle Park, but it's about the issue you talk about on Staten Island. It's absolutely, I have no idea. I went down to a lawyer. I don't even know.
And I tell you what, Jeff. We don't just talk about things. As you can see, we're proactive. Rita helping the troops with Troopathon. I'm going to put you on hold, Jeff. I'm going to get you information, and I will personally deal with that drunk outside of your house. If it requires me giving him an attitudinal readjustments and a little pain compliance, so be it. And then let the cops arrest me. Let them arrest me. Anyway, let's go to Tim Danny, who I believe is calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Danny.
Hi, Dan.
Good everybody. Good afternoon. Listen, Curtis, this is a perfect example of what happens when your police department has stopped policing at the lowest level. One thing leads to another. And now we're going to legalize pot. So let's have a million people sitting around the pot, legally smoking, puffing away. You can't arrest them, can't do anything. Then they start puffing away. You know, and children are trying to use the park. This is what happens.
Danny, that's why I brought up exactly that point, because with Bill Bratton, it was a lot tougher on some of the crimes there. And now with Jimmy O'Neill, who is the police commissioner, because he has been such a yes man to Mayor Bill de Blasio. Yeah, exactly.
Lapdog. Yes, boss.
He's turning a blind eye to all these things. And you're right. It's gotten so out of control, and they should have cracked down on the lower level crimes.
Let's go, Rita Cosby, to Tim in Staten Island. Welcome to WABC, Timmy.
Hey, Curtis, what's going on? Hi, Rita.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that that part right there, that Tompkins Park Place, is like the major bus hub for Staten Island. And there's all kinds of school children there. There's people that are going to work. They're coming to the ferry there. It's crazy. I have a nephew that's a police officer at the 120, and he told me that they are told to stay away.
Now, what does he say? Let me ask you. You brought up a great point there, because you talked about your nephew. What does he say? Because if I'm a cop and they say, hey, stay away from that, I go, boss, why? What is your nephew saying as to when he gets told stand down?
Well, they're not really allowed to question their authorities, but he does say that it's very frustrating that they drive right past this stuff, and they actually eyewitness drug deals going on.
Oh, my God. Curtis, can you imagine you're a cop on the beat?
Yeah.
You know, you're excited to crack down, and they say, okay, don't do anything in that area. Come on.
Well, you know something interesting, Tim. And I'm going to tell the borough president and the 120th commander and the borough commander and whoever they send from One Police Plaza, I'm going to personally knock out these drug dealers and the Latin Kings. What are you going to do since you don't do anything any other day when they're fighting and carousing and robbing and creating chaos? You're going to lock me up? And want to bet, Tim, they'll look me straight in the eye and say, you do that, Sliwa, you're getting locked up.
I can see me bailing you out, Tim. You and I are going to have to bail out Curtis. That's where I see this going, Timmy.
Well, if you're driving by, Tim, and all of a sudden you see police barricades out and smoke bombs in the air as we clear out the whole area of all the flotsam and jetsam, you'll know that I'm true to my word. And, hey, One Police Plaza, I know you're listening right now at your desk. You know me for 39 years. When I get involved in a project that you guys dropped, With a door that's painted, please don't sell heroin on this stoop, and the heroin dealers purposely sell it on the stoop out in the open, and you cops do nothing.
Hey, by the way, Curtis, I predict in the middle of all this, the neighborhood's going to be cheering you on because there are so many good neighbors in there who want this place cleaned up.
Oh, there's no doubt. Hey, look, I've been arrested 77 times. I'll go for 78. No problem.
What the heck, right?
1-800-848-WABC.
Because freedom makes so free.
What is this? Kid Rock drinking a Coors beer?
And they call me warrior! They call me loyalty!
Yeah, this is in dedication to Rita Cosby, Mark Levin, and everyone else who is contributing to the annual Troopathon, which Newsmax is hosting. And that's where Rita Cosby is today. So for those who have no idea what Troopathon is, Rita, can you connect them to what a great effort this is annually?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And it's Troopathon 11. This is the 11th year. And it is the biggest organization which sends care packages to our troops all over the globe, Curtis. And you know, you and I both love the military. We love the servicemen and women. And for me, this is the most special broadcast that I do all year. It is tomorrow from 3 to 10 p.m. And it's going to be on Newsmax TV, also Facebook Live. So everybody check it out in your area. You can get details on troopathon.org. And what it is it's a way to tell our troops, many of them on multiple deployments, away from their family. And there's a lot of hot spots around the globe. We talk about them, you and I, Curtis, on the show all the time. I mean, you think about what's happening in South Korea, given the dimensions of what's happening in North Korea, also Afghanistan. Think about in Iraq and Syria. There's a lot of hot spots around the globe, and our troops are there on the front lines. And for many of these guys and gals, they don't have necessarily a connection with their families, or they're traveling and they don't receive anything. And this is sometimes the only package that they get, often for months, sometimes all year. And what's included in these care packages, just to give you an idea, and these things that you and I and everybody listening, we just take them for granted. It might be a beef jerky. It might be a shaver. It might be M&Ms. It might be laundry detergent. It might be an extra toothbrush. Think about that. That's a luxury for some of our troops that are serving on the front lines, to get an extra toothbrush and extra toothpaste. There's also a letter that's included, and I think this is such a neat thing. You're able to send a personalized letter that will be inserted in a care package if you buy a care package for the troops, which, by the way, are only about $25. And that letter will go to a troop, and often it sets up a pen pal relationship. You'll often get a letter back saying, thank you, this is the only package I got on year. I can't tell you how much this meant to me. This let me know that America has not forgotten me. And what's so beautiful also, and Curtis, you and I both also love the animals so much, they also have packages for dogs, canine packs as well, because our dogs are serving there on the front lines with our servicemen and women. So you can buy canine packs that have doggles for the dogs, goggles for the dogs. And to get details, you go to troopathon.org. And also, by the way, folks listening, this is going to be an amazing broadcast. So make sure you tune in to Curtis and Cosby tomorrow. And as soon as the show is done, go over then to Newsmax, because starting at 3 o'clock till 10 o'clock, I'll be there with Melanie Morgan on Newsmax TV. But we have a Trump family member who's going to be joining us because they are very patriotic. We've got Iron Mike Tyson. We have Sean Hannity, the great one, Mark Levin, of course, from WABC will be there. Laura Ingram, Bill O'Reilly, Charlie Daniels, Dean Cain, Monica Crowley, the list goes on and on and on. And it's going to be an amazing broadcast. And Curtis, to me, this is so special because this is a way for us to say to our troops, we love you. You know, my father was rescued by American troops in World War II, so my dad couldn't wait to come to America and kiss the ground and was so honored to be an American citizen. So for me to be able to give back to our troops is the most greatest feeling in the world, you know?
No disrespect to you, Rita. We were planning on me Skyping you at some point tomorrow after the show. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
I know
that.
You're going to be out and about. I just heard.
I know. I don't know if I'll be able to do it from central booking because, you know, when they arrest you on Friday, a judge doesn't hear you for arraignment until Monday.
You know what we'll do? We'll have Iron Mike Tyson somehow call into the precinct and maybe we can get you out of it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I wouldn't mind. Back to back, belly to belly with Iron Mike. But, Rita, it's a great thing you're doing. Too often we forget because we figure, okay, the men and women, they're all taken care of. Not, you know, oftentimes when they're at home on their bases or if they live off base, they're living on food stamps. So imagine when they're away and particularly in very difficult situations. Boy, they could use all the care packages in the world.
Absolutely. I want to remind everybody, too, again, it's only $25. And to find out how you can help to get a care package, whether it's for a serviceman or a service dog, too, or a service woman, it's troopathon.org. And by the way, before I forget to also, Curtis, in New York, in Bryant Park tonight, the Wounded Warrior Project, which does a lot and also helps Troopathon, too. They're just a great organization. They have a wounded soldier, Dan Nevins, who's an amazing guy. He is an amputee. He's a bilateral below-the-knee amputee. And he's actually, think about this. Think about the guts of our warriors as we talk about Troopathon. This guy is teaching a 1,200-person yoga class courtesy of the help from the Wounded Warrior Project, that great organization, tonight in Bryant Park, 6 to 7 p.m. on the lawn. And that's open for folks who are listening out there to come on out. I mean, think about the inspiration. This guy teaching a yoga class and talking about his battles on the front line, but what an inspiration our troops are.
Up next, Carranza, intent on destroying elite education in our public school system.
America!
Curtis Sliwa.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby. Please welcome Rita Cosby.
Curtis and Cosby. The new midday show. Streaming now. WABCradio.com.
We don't need no education.
1240. Yours truly here at WABC. Rita Cosby down at the site of Troopathon in Florida. And the headlines are blazing that the brand new chancellor of the DOE, Department of Education, or as I say, the acronym stands for dumbest organization ever, his name, Richard Carranza, has decided to push ahead with a program that has been baptized and given its approval by Comrade Bill de Blasio to diversify the high-performing schools, the elite public schools, with low-performing students. And it's moving el rapido. In fact, one quarter of the seats in each middle school, each junior high school, will be set aside for poor kids with bad test scores and grades in what the chancellor, Carranza, says will serve as a model for the rest of the city. And in addition to that, as he wrecks the elite education in the public high school system and junior high school system, Rita Cosby, he claims there's implicit bias in the school system, amongst the teachers, amongst the supervisors. And in order to become culturally relevant and to get rid of your biases, he's going to spend $23 million through the year 2022 to conduct Starbucks-type diversity courses after school because he says the problem isn't the parents who send the kids ill-prepared to learn. The problem, naturally, is the teachers, the assistant principals, the supervisors who must undergo training because they're biased and they are not culturally relevant.
It's unbelievable, Curtis. And then in addition to this, high-performing students who wanted to get into certain schools are being told, well, listen, if you don't make it to your first choice because basically we're going to have to make room for others, then we'll try to get you on your second choice. So high-performing students, they are blatantly saying that a number of them will just be basically pushed aside for other kids. And I want to put it out to our callers. What do they think of this? What message does that send to kids that if you're not the highest scorer, you still have a good chance of bumping somebody who maybe is much more qualified and maybe has a better test score, but because you didn't fit this criteria, too bad. You know, so what does this say to you about hard work paying off? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. If you were the parent of one of these kids who got passed over because somebody else had to, quote, fill the slot because they had the 20% criteria, how furious would you be? I would be mad.
Oh, but there's an exception to this new rule. There always is, isn't there?
There always is.
It's called the Center School. It's up in the Upper West Side. It's a middle school, or what I call a junior high school. It includes the kids of Cynthia Nixon, Samantha Bee, and Louis C.K., although he's not exposing himself to those kids. And it will be exempt from the new policy.
I'm wondering if Cynthia Nixon will allow them to smoke pot. You know, she seems very eager to do that.
This is incredible. But there's one school example. I want to give you an example. I went to junior high school, Bildersee Junior High School, 68, in Canarsie. And I was in an elite school class. It's called SP. There was a two-year SP, and there's a three-year SP, you know, grades 6, 7, and 8. I did not go and try for the two-year SP. Those were for the real brainiacs. I went into the three-year SP. My cousins, Joey G, the Cheech from Howard Beach, and Lenny Beans Bianchino, because the Italians at that time were the poor performers. I could just imagine if they would have filled one quarter of the seats as poor performers. They would have been disruptive in the class. You know, they would have been giving bunces and nunces and hitting kids in the head and causing all kinds of chaos so that the kids that were really there to study, at that time it was mostly the Jewish kids who were in the elite classes, they would be interfered with. The teacher wouldn't be able to teach the lesson plan, and nobody would benefit from this. Nobody.
It's ridiculous. And also, I just think, Curtis, that if you're somebody who has spent so much time teaching your kid to get into these great quality schools and that, listen, hard work pays off, what message does it send to kids? And this comes, Curtis, too, at the same time that Mayor Bill de Blasio, he is basically choking off charter schools. The demand for charter schools in New York City has just hit a new high, nearly 80,000 lottery applicants, and yet because Bill de Blasio is choking off the funds to charter schools because they have had a lot of great success for the reason that we're just talking about, you know, and the catering to kids' needs and the high quality that a lot of those charter schools are providing. Guess what? Bill de Blasio has been choking them off, and there's not a lot of slots there.
And most of the kids who go to charter schools who are doing well, better than kids in public schools, are black and Hispanic kids. But let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is James from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Jimmy.
Hey, Rita and Curtis, hey, please
hey, James.
Don't get locked up. I'll come bail you out. They need to clean up over there. Anyway, as far as the specialized high school thing goes, I went to a specialized high school. I went to, I had to take a test to go to Prenning High School on 50th Street.
Sure, that was right next to Park West High School, so you were getting into fights with them all the time.
Yeah, always Park West is our enemy. But look, the argument on both sides, I think, is over-exaggerating the impact. I understand what he was trying to do. I think he's doing it the wrong way, because I truly believe they're not going to just take kids just because you didn't make the cut and stick them in those spots. But I do believe that the reason why some people who are capable of reaching the mark but don't have the resources to push them that little extra nudge.
And James, I agree with you. I think that there needs to be something to help those kids rise up so they qualify. But just by sticking them in the slots, I don't know if that's the answer.
Well, let's go to Deb in Queens. Welcome to WABC. Debbie.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I got confused.
Hey, Debbie.
Juliet was on yesterday. I'm well, thank you. How are you guys?
We're good. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment that if you know, like all this diversity stuff, it's not the kids that study hard and do the right things that get rewarded. It's just the kids that are not studying, and that's not right, you know. And if that's just in the name of diversity, how come, like, all basketball teams are mostly black? Why don't we go and remove some of those players and put some white people in there for the sake of diversity, even though they stink? Would that happen?
Yeah, because white boys can't jump. That's right. So have a few of them, you know, like Justin B. Love and Brian Mangalucci.
Yeah, let's just stick them in there.
They can be bench jockeys, but take up positions that black kids had earned because they were superior with their athletic abilities and they spent time practicing.
Exactly. So, but we need diversity there. We need to remove them and put some white morons.
Well, you know what?
Just because of the fact that we need that.
The reason they won't do that is because then if you had Justin B. Love on the team and Brian Mangalucci, you'd have a losing team. Let's go to Susan calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I am from Manhattan now, but I went to PS 31, which was an ultra ghetto school, and I was the smartest one in the elementary school, so I went to Hunter Junior High, could not keep up at all. It was hell. I eventually got kicked out. And also, I went to junior high school 22 in the Bronx with the Jewish kids and the SPs, but you know what? The sister doctor.
Good,
and
good.
And that's where the problem is.
Good.
But
okay,
Susan, Susan, your point is a good one, that, I mean, you feel that pushing them towards good quality education. The other thing, you brought up an interesting point, Susan, and I think this is fascinating, Curtis, that sometimes throwing kids in, you know, sometimes the cream rises to the top. It forces them to excel. But you're right. Sometimes it puts them in a weird environment that they're not prepared for also. There's a drawback,
you know,
to those going in.
Imagine
also.
Formula One racing, right? Those are the elite drivers. Formula One racing, they're going like over 200 miles an hour. And as you know, they're like inches away from one another's bumper. But let's say you took somebody who was used to driving go-karts and they thought that they were good drivers. And you said, let's put you in a Formula One racer. It's millions of dollars. You know, we'll put you up there with the elite drivers. What do you think is going to happen?
The same crash and burn as in schools?
And it's going to cause, right, it's going to cause other drivers to spin out and crash. That's why you can't do that.
Well, and also, I think you just teach. It's a bad lesson. I do think our first caller, I think James made a great point, Curtis, because I think there is something that needs to happen so there is not just all Asian kids in these top schools in New York City that we see all the
time.
But
wait, Jay,
we need something to help them,
now?
But not throw them in. Not throw
now?
Them in,
this
but
this is prejudice
up.
Against Asians and East Indians. They have earned the right to be in the elite schools.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
People
what I'm saying to you, what
now
I'm saying to you,
them.
What I'm saying to you is that we have to give the other kids at least a chance to rise up so they are on equal footing.
Well,
and maybe it's classes after, you know, school as opposed to throwing them in.
Maybe it's the parents who aren't on the kids' case.
Bravo.
Aren't encouraging them to read and aren't encouraging them to do extra credit reports.
No, they're too busy giving the implicit bias and culturally relevant classes to the teachers. The Starbucks classes. Their parents need the Starbucks classes.
That's why the kids are doing so poorly in the minority communities. But I thought Asians and East Indians were minorities. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-9222.
You come up thousands of miles coming through Mexico, and we're going to stop it. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Go home to your mom, darling. Go home. Was that a man or a woman? Because he needs a haircut more than I do. I couldn't tell. Needs a haircut.
That was the president doing stand-up in his presentation in Duluth, Minnesota, the heartland of America, last night at his rally. And Rita Cosby, a lot of people don't realize, the guy that was escorted out was holding up a picture of Jeffrey Epstein, who runs Pedophile Island, best friend of Bill Clinton. And he was embracing Donald Trump at the time.
Yeah, it was such a wild scenario, by the way. And if it doesn't get wilder, our mayor, Bill de Blasio, is now on the border with a group of mayors saying they want to get into the 10 city, Curtis.
Now, I don't understand. Bill de Blasio was letting kids in NYCHA eat lead-laden paint chips and didn't care about them. But he cares about the little children in the migrant camps in Texas. Oh, what a slacker.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines. The issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Oh, 7 minutes after the hour of one. As I am high atop Madison Square Garden in the great facilities provided for us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. And Rita Cosby is down, where she will host a Troopathon tomorrow down in Florida. And Rita Cosby, the flavor in every newspaper and every headline is that the president has done a pirouette, has completely gone in a different direction than he had been going into, which was to separate children from their mothers. And now he is back to following the footsteps of Barack Obama. But I must tell you, 72 hours ago, if I had listened to our many callers who were berating me for predicting that, I would have thought the president was going to stick to his principles of separating the children from their mothers.
Children being separated from their parents. Illegal acts must have consequences. Illegal aliens must make sacrifices.
They're coming over the border illegally. They're not going to the ports of entry. That's illegal, and they should be separated.
Go by Lutheran Medical Center and look at all the strollers of the Mexican babies lined up for free medical, Curtis. I am tired of paying for it.
These people are abusing their children.
The bottom line is, if you're an asylum seeker, you don't go through four countries to seek it. You go to the nearest country and seek asylum.
And many of them predicted the president would not change direction. And then at 12 noon yesterday, voila, the pen came out and the president signed the executive order.
Ivanka feels very strongly. My wife feels very strongly about it. I feel very strongly about it. I think anybody with a heart would feel very strongly about it. We don't like to see families separated. At the same time, we don't want people coming into our country illegally.
And then at that executive signing that reversed Sessions, who had said in April they would start separating children from their mothers.
I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated. There's a problem that's gone on for many years, as you know, through many administrations. People haven't dealt with it, and we are dealing with it. So step by step, just like we dealt with North Korea, we dealt with Iran, we dealt with an economy that was heading in the wrong direction, we dealt with a lot of different problems. This is one that has been gone on for many decades.
Wow, at that executive signing yesterday at the White House, it seemed like the president was doing a Roberto Duran to Sugar Ray Leonard, no mas, no mas. He was like waving the white flag, Rita.
Well, you know, the thing is, I knew that this would happen at some point. The question is how soon it happened, I think, because people were staggered that it reversed so quickly. And now there are still so many questions, too, Curtis, because you've got what's going to happen to these, you know, 2,300 kids that have already been separated. In fact, as we're talking about all of this, there's like 239 right there in East Harlem. Here I am in Florida as we're preparing for Troopathon. Huge issue, of course, with immigration and migrants and illegal immigrants here in Florida. Everybody talking about this. And I thought he would hold it off as leverage. I always thought that the president never wanted to see kids separated from their parents. I always thought that was the predominant. But I thought at some point he was using it clearly, I think, as leverage for negotiations and other things with DACA and the border wall and all these other things. That's why I thought he would stick to his guns a little bit longer. But I also knew that it was a bargaining tool. I knew at the end of the day, this is where it's going to end up. He said he didn't want kids and parents separated. He kind of made that pretty clear.
Yeah, but he blinked. He did a pirouette. And
Kirstjen Nielsen gets the pen. She gets the pen.
Right,
she signed. That was the irony. Here it is, you know,
and what
the deal signed, and she gets the pen.
What a putz she and Miller are. Miller, who came up with the strategy for the president, his advisor on national policy, They both went to Mexican restaurants when the crisis was at its highest. Could you have believed the optical of both of these people who were so forcefully saying, separate the kids from their mothers, walking into Mexican restaurants in Washington, D.C., that we know are staffed by illegal aliens in the kitchen and in the service department.
And they got hammered, as you pointed out, Curtis. I mean, boy, did they get hammered. And that was obviously how stupid to go there in the height of it all. But at the other time, you know, they should be able to eat their meals. When you see what happened to these people, I think it's going to happen to them, not just in Mexican restaurants, but many restaurants. I don't think that's fair.
Well, let me find out from all of you, you Trumper and Trumpet supporters. Maybe you were stunned yesterday. That's why you didn't respond to the quick pirouette. But what do you think now that the president basically has gone back on his word and is now following the dictate of Barack Obama not to separate families when they cross the border? 1-800-848-WABC. Do you realize he's following Barack Obama now? 1-800-848-9222.
Well, he's not following him with the idea of a border wall. And that's clearly where the president, and this is where the dance is going to be, Curtis, to see what he does. Because he said, yeah, I'm going to backtrack on this, essentially. I am going to say I want kids and parents. I always sort of wanted that. Again, I think he said it as a negotiating tool otherwise. But now he has come and said, I'm still tough on borders. I still want a border wall. I still want this. So he's got to still look tough to his base and still stick to some of his principles. But yet now he signed this executive order. That's, I think, going to be the incredible balance.
That's exactly what he was doing to the crowd last night in Duluth, feeding them red meat.
And the Democrats' open border policies have also allowed MS-13 to break into our country and drugs to pour into our streets, and we're stopping it. We have taken out of our country, and actually, can you believe I have to say this, we have liberated towns, liberated, like it was captured by a foreign country. We have liberated towns out in Long Island. MS-13, gangs, we have taken them out of our country by the thousands.
Well, now, he's done a very good job in cracking down on MS-13 with Jeff Sessions and obviously Limigra, ICE, Immigration and Naturalization Service, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, much better than Barack Obama. But here he goes embellishing. He has not liberated any towns.
Yeah, that's a hard word. When you say liberated, that's a hard word, Curtis.
It's sort of like, come on, miss. That's like Bush on the aircraft carrier. Remember in Iraq? We've won the war.
Yeah, the mission accomplished. You know, and to use the phrase liberated, that's a very strong term. When you're using that word, you kind of got to deliver. You know, I think of other things when I think of liberated. I think of our brave troops in World War II. I think of a lot of other things. I don't know if I'd use the word liberated.
I give him credit for doing a much better job than Barack Obama and making it a priority, but liberating whole towns. You better tell that to the people in Brentwood and Central Islip. And, well, we could go through so many
not
towns
Tompkinsville,
in Long Island.
Not Tompkinsville.
So, let's go to Rob in Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Bobby.
Curtis, Rita, good afternoon.
Hi, Bobby.
I have a solution. First off, these people claim that they're coming here because they want security, they want to be free. I think we should take one of our abandoned aircraft carriers and get as many of them on there as we can. And we take them to Antarctica and drop them off over there. And then they have all the security they need. Nobody's going to bother them there. There's no gangs on Antarctica. We don't have to pay for it anymore. We'll send them a little.
Hey, Bobby, there's some vicious penguins. I've been to Antarctica. There's some pretty wild penguins there that could also cause some trouble, you know?
Oh, that's food. That's food for them.
Bobby, oh, my goodness.
Bobby, I thought you were heading in the direction of saying, let's take some of those mothballed ocean liners, those cruise liners that Disney used to have for kids. They no longer use them. They have modern, updated ocean liners.
Yeah, I thought he had a creative idea until he got to Antarctica, until he went really
far
south.
Why Antarctica? I mean, they're going to freeze their tuchuses off.
Well, we'll give them clothes. No, because they say they're running away from gangs. They're running away from this and that and the other thing. There was none of that.
You were doing so well,
What about the global warming and all the problems
there? You were doing so well,
Rob. They won't allow it. The scientists will not allow it.
And then he blew it with Antarctica. Let's go to Brian in Rockland. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Brian.
How you guys doing? I was the one yesterday that one of the two that was on the phone. You remember they were all quiet. I was one of the two that called.
Oh, okay, Brian, I would have encouraged you and your followers to call. I was off. I'm busy with Troopathon, but go ahead, Brian.
No, like I said, was it a turnaround, or was it? I mean, with the everything that was going on with the violence. I mean, with people getting people's lives threatened. What Peter Fonda did. I mean, it got crazy, though. It got violent real quick, no?
It did. Well, it did. It did escalate, I think, quicker than even the president imagined.
So, Brian, you do realize he's now following the Obama edict by 100%. Keeping families together.
100%. But you know what? Again, like you said, I think we all can all agree. I don't think that's what he wanted to do. I don't think he wanted to split a family.
Why can't he just be honest and say, I made a mistake. I will go back to following the Obama edict that I was so critical of.
I voted for Trump, and I support Trump, but you want him to be honest and actually...
Yeah, of course. He's not going to be honest. Of course not. He's not going to show any humility.
I think he always used this as a negotiating tool. He did always say, to his credit, he did always say from the beginning, I don't like the idea of kids and parents being ripped. I think we always got an inkling.
He's getting
he was getting bupkis a
for the
you
wall. He's getting
bupkis
for the wall. He's not getting $25 billion from the House or from the Senate.
Well, that's why he was trying to throw this out to see if
and
he
he's
could
not
get
even
it.
Getting 25 and pesos from Mexico. And by the way, a left-wing government is coming into power there. So now it's even going to get harder to get anything out of the Mexicans. Anyway, let's go to Glenn in Garfield, welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Glenn?
Hey, what happened to Schumer's famous, just the pen, use the pen.
He was right.
Use the pen and they don't like it. But Trump just proved again that the Democrats and the liberals don't care about the people. They just care about their position of power. And that's it.
No, but wait a second, Glenn. When Schumer said, just take out the pen, it's exactly what I said, an executive order would undo what Jeff Sessions had put into place, and it's true, it has.
And so what are they crying about now?
Well,
you know what they're crying about? They're crying because right away they can't say, oh, yeah, this is the right decision. They're crying because they're like, oh, what about the 2,300? They will never give this president credit, and that, I think, is shameful.
Well, what he now must do is reunite the 2,300 with their parents, who have probably been spread into a number of facilities.
Including in New York, including there in New York.
Right, but I'm talking about the parents who are probably in facilities awaiting adjudication somewhere in the Southwest. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Joe?
Oh, what an honor, Mr. Sliwa and Rita. You're great. Curtis, I've been a
thank you, Joe.
Since the Guardian Angels, man. Crown Heights, everything. I know everything you've done has been with heart and for the best interest of New York.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
And people in general, okay? I just don't understand one thing. The president has the weight of, not to sound ridiculous, but the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's a politician now. Every politician does things they flip up. But why can't you give the guy a little consideration, a little courtesy, say, you know what? He did the right thing.
Joe, do you know Curtis doesn't give anybody consideration, Joe? You know that.
Joe, he's now claiming it was Ivanka and Melania who convinced them. Come on. Why can't he just be honest? And he said, I was getting my butt handed to me politically, and so I've decided to go back and follow the Obama initiative. That's it. Just say that.
But you know what, Curtis? A call earlier today with the other show, the Obama initiative was a mess. Oh, he was destroying
us. Well, then he's gone back. He's gone back to a mess, right?
But what's the big deal? He didn't say. Did Hillary ever say I made a mistake wrecking all these,
she said she made a mistake in calling you a deplorable. She remembers she said she made a mistake in calling you, Joe, and other Trump supporters deplorables.
Yeah, because she knew it was...
Well, that's probably the first time she apologized. Trump apologized for the Bush tapes. But other than that, this guy shows no humility. 1-800-848-WABC. And let's go to the phones. Rita Cosby down in Troopathon in Florida. Yours truly here in the studios at WABC. It's Harold in Brooklyn. Welcome to WABC, Harold.
Good afternoon, panel. I'm an African-American male. I'm not a Trumper, and I'm not a Democrat. I've lived through a whole lot of presidents, and none of them have done anything for the black community. But my point is this, young man. If I decided tomorrow to violate federal law, I'm going to get arrested, and I'm going to get separated from my family. I'm tired of paying for other people's nonsense. If I refuse to pay income tax, I get arrested. If 90% of these people aren't showing up for their hearings, what's the sense of even stopping them? If 90% of us refuse to pay taxes, I'm quite sure the government would figure it out. When I saw Elijah Cummings on TV crying about those immigrant children, and I feel sorry for him, I do feel sorry for him.
So let me ask you, what do you see as the solution? How could we fix this?
Hold on, ma'am. When I saw Elijah Cummings crying, have you any of you walked through his district in Northeast Baltimore?
By the way, I have. It's a mess. I have.
And he's been in office 30 years.
I agree.
Now, so, Harold, you're upset with the president for reversing course, and now following the Obama edict.
Yeah, you haven't. How can we solve this? You haven't talked about what can we do to solve it.
I'm not upset with him doing that. I'm upset. This is a 40-year problem. This didn't just happen today. This has been going on for the last 40 years with this nonsense with immigration. And every couple of years, you got DACA. They want citizenship. 15 to 20 years from now, these people crossing the border now, we're right back at this. Right back to square one.
But Harold, yesterday I was listening to the president from Duluth, where the economy is doing very well. They have more jobs than they have people available. He's saying we're going to need workers. So obviously, if a lot of people were working locally and you're opening up new businesses and new factories and the economy is booming, you're going to need legals or people with green cards or worker visas to come in and fill those positions, aren't you?
There's a whole lot of Americans that aren't in the workforce because they choose not to be in it and they need to go to work. I'm a working man. I've been working since I was 8 years old. And America, there's a lot of Americans that need to go to work. And I see them every day laying around. Look at the opioid problem. If you're a drug addict, you got all day to get high because you don't work.
Well, there's no doubt. I just came from Tompkinsville Park, Bay Street and Victory Boulevard, and they're all over, laying around, just shooting up, putting the spikes in their arm, and the cops are doing nothing. Let's go to Eddie in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Eddie?
Hey, good afternoon. I just want to say the only reason, Curtis, that you're supporting the illegals is because you know when they come in, crime is going to skyrocket, and then the guardian angels will be needed, and you can increase your base. That's the only reason you're supporting them. Thank you very much.
Now, hold on, Shane, Eddie. Hold on.
We hung up, Curtis. That is the craziest theory.
Well, what is it?
Like, what, to keep work up? That's the craziest theory.
Hold on. The mayor, this is what he always says, right?
We are America's safest big city.
So we have a lot of illegal aliens. Crime is down, according to the mayor.
How crazy is Eddie's theory to say that you're pushing it so you guys, you have job protection? Eddie, shame on you. Nobody wants that.
So according to Eddie, when I disagree with the president who says we have liberated whole towns in Long Island from MS-13, and I give him credit for cracking down on them, but I'm saying, wait, you're embellishing there. They're not eliminated. They're still there. They're weakened, but they're still there. It means that I want more MS-13 members pouring in across the border, 18th Street, the other gang from Mexico, so that it will encourage more growth and development of guardian angels to counteract them?
Yeah, that's the craziest theory, Eddie.
Well, that's like supply and demand.
Well, that's why the craziest thing. They're trying to make sense of this all. I think the reality is the president always knew it would end up here. I'm surprised it happened as quick because I think he wanted to hard bargain with the Democrats. And he just got flooded
with
those horrible
images. He had to fold his
cards.
It's like in poker,
horrible
right?
Horrible images.
He folded his cards.
But I think he always knew he was going to fold. I think he always planned on using it as leverage.
He
couldn't hold on that
long. I'm going back and following the Barack Obama initiative to keep families together.
Are you kidding? He's ever going to quote Barack Obama? Do you think any Republican president's ever going to do that? No way.
But up next, here he is with problems galore, young children and NYCHA housing products. Projects eating lead chip paints because of comrade Bill de Blasio and developing and getting mentally impaired because of it. De Blasio chose to do nothing, in fact, lied about it. And yet he's down at the border because he's concerned about the children that wait till you hear this kakaram, this liar.
Curtis and Cosby.
Talking about the Red Angels of NY City.
On the air, on the app.
Curtis Cosby.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
The stars at night.
are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas, the prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas.
139. I'm here high atop Madison Square Garden, and Rita Cosby is down getting ready to host Troopathon tomorrow in Florida. And everyone's heading to Texas. Melania Trump, the president's wife, she's visiting a detention facility for children near the Texas border. And the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, Comrade de Blasio, he also went down to Texas. We'll catch up with that in a moment, Rita. But yesterday, he was caught asleep at the job. The mayor discovered that some of these children who had been separated from their parents at the border were being housed in children's shelter facilities here in New York City.
We now know, and we're all understanding this, it's sort of coming in wave after wave, that in the last 2 months, this family separation policy has affected thousands of children. Well, 239 of them are right here, right now. And this is just one of the centers in New York City.
You know, it's staggering, Curtis, the fact that our mayor didn't know that there's a facility there in East Harlem. I mean, it's shocking. 239. And he keeps bringing up all over the place this one kid he uses as an example. They, you know, politicians always kind of pick one. But he uses this 9-year-old Eddie who came from Honduras by bus, tells his dramatic story. And I think, like you said, he is just embarrassed also that he was caught flat-footed, didn't even know they were here. And now here he is, part of the mayor's going to Texas today, and he's all over the news. He's all over MSNBC talking about it and blasting President Trump's policies.
His homeless services department knew that the children were being transported here.
Well, that's what's so shocking, that everybody else seemed to know, but he didn't know. Well, you know, come on.
You wake up late each day, you're in a drug-induced psychosis from smoking bones of Hindu Kush on the back porch of Gracie Mansion every night.
You're blaming it on
lady.
The puff puff.
Oh, there's no doubt. Okay, but then, even though I have said, yeah, the president signed the executive order, he's going to put the children back with their parents. No. That's not good enough for de Blasio.
This president has changed his mind on so many things so many times. I will believe it when we see the results, when all these families are reunited. That's the simple measure. When every single family is reunited, then I'll believe in the executive order.
Now, here it is. The president reversed the pirouette.
Give him credit.
Right,
That's where it gets so disgusting, Curtis, you know, because it's like you sit there. This is where I think Americans and so many of our listeners, their eyes roll back in their head because, all right, the president said he didn't like the idea of kids and parents being separated, but he had the stern process given by Sessions and others, and then yet he reverses it pretty quickly. That was pretty fast. You know, you and I will agree on that. And you sit there and you go, okay, well, the answer is, oh, this is great. This is it. No. They will not give him any credit. And this just shows how disgusting and how politically divided the country
is. So naturally, what does Comrade de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, does? At taxpayers' expense, he gets on a jet. He heads down to the border because he wants to personally go in to an immigration facility and visit these separated children. And listen to how they wouldn't even answer the door and how he was begging them, please let me in.
Is someone here, a supervisor, to talk to? Anyone here to talk to, sir? Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York City. Is there a supervisor to talk to here?
He's begging. This reminds me, Rita, remember on the campaign trail when Hillary was campaigning against the Alta Kaka, Bernie Sanders in Iowa, the first state with the Caucasoid caucuses, and Bill de Blasio was not invited to come out by Hillary, and he went out there anyway. And remember, he and his wife went knocking on doors, and people were slamming it in his face
as if
he was a Jehovah
here?
Witness or a Mormon missionary.
And he's this big, tall guy, and they're also like, what are you doing here? Excuse me. You know, we have issues here. What is this guy? You look sort of familiar. Are you the guy from New York?
And
what are you doing here?
Here it is. He has been lambasted for the last 8 months for doing nothing about the lead paint chips in NYCHA projects that some of the young children have consumed, and it's caused them tremendous mental issues as a result, disconnect from some of their mental faculties. He hasn't even addressed that, hasn't even cleaned up that problem.
And you got the head of NYCHA, of course, who he refused to even criticize through that entire process, Curtis. I mean, you look at the way that that was handled, and yet he's going to be proactive on this one.
What a grandstander. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dutch first up in the queue, calling from Connecticut. Welcome to WABC, Dutch.
Hi, Curtis. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling fine. Just came out of the belly of the beast to do this broadcast with Rita Cosby down at Troopathon in Florida.
Hi, Dutch.
Hi. My dad was at a stoplight, and he needed me to give you the phone. So here you go. Here's my dad.
Oh, my God. Hey, that's a family affair. Go ahead, Dutch.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. Sorry about that. Trying to hit
my
son.
By the way, how old is your son? That was fun. How old is your son?
He's 10 years old.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're going to hire him. He has really good phone skills.
And not only that, it's great that now at the age of 10, it's required listening because you're listening. Eventually, when he's a young adult, he'll choose to listen to us because we've brainwashed him.
Well, that's part of the game plan. There's nothing wrong with a little early education, and it beats listening to some of the other radio stations.
Absolutely,
Bravo, Dutch. Bravo. You're teaching your child well, Dutch.
Well, it's all about being able to form an opinion, which is one of the reasons why I love you guys. Curtis, I know you and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but for certain, when it comes down to de Blasio, he reminds me of the police captain in Casablanca. I had no idea there was a shelter in the city. I'm shocked.
Yep. Even though they can't transport the children and put them in shelters in the city without the acknowledgement of homeless services.
On some level.
Right. And child welfare. So his bureaucrats were aware of it. And they probably tried to let the mayor know. But remember, when you're high all the time from smoking Hindu Kush, you don't pay attention to details.
Well, and it wasn't a headline until it got all over the news, you guys. Now suddenly it's like he's like a fly to the moth. You know, I mean, he wants to like hurry up and fly to the light. You know, he wants to hurry up and gravitate to it and get to it because he knows now all the cameras are on it. And now suddenly he is proactive, Bill.
Well, I know I mentioned it to you guys once before in a past call about the disaster that the city is, particularly Grand Central, and all the homeless and everything else. I'd love them to see a little bit of an effort in there at the taxpayers' expense, not flying to Texas, but trying to fix some things in the city.
But remember,
well, that's what we're talking about, NYCHA. I mean, you said NYCHA, yeah. You know, it's like what a mess NYCHA
right,
was.
But remember, it's not just Bill de Blasio. It's also the guy he won't talk to, and that guy won't talk to him, which is Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo the First. He's responsible for the subways that are falling apart. And what is he doing? He's suing the president because he separated the children from their parents. Like, out of all the things you have to do as governor, one of the things you shouldn't be doing is suing the president of the United States. There are other people who could do that. Let's go to Antonio Rita, who's calling from Texas. Welcome to WABC, Antonio.
Good morning. good afternoon, sorry. You guys, I was just going to say that with Trump, people have to remember that he did create the circumstances in the beginning. So those people rolling their eyes need to understand that his reversal is just all that is just trying to make up for his initial mess. Now, as far as it being a problem down here, it is a problem.
Yeah, I was about to say, Antonio, don't you think it is a mess and something needs to be done?
Sure, but it's the way he went about it was completely wrong. It makes no sense to split up more families, and not just splitting them up, but I think the cost is even much harder to make up. Why not keep them in the same place with their kids and then deal with them legally or whatever the case is? But splitting them up and flying them around the country makes it even more expensive.
Well,
and
the problem,
and
Antonio,
is making up for it.
And I think what he was trying to do clearly was to send a message: don't come to the border illegally. That was his message. He was trying to. And I agree with you. I don't think it was the most financially smart way, nor the most politically
because,
smart way, or heartful
like
way.
So
but,
many
you know,
things. He did it on the spur of the moment, hadn't thought it out, hadn't consulted with his advisors who were on the front lines.
I think he thought the Democrats would try to cave on some other issue, Curtis, and
yeah, to give him money to build the wall. But Republicans won't give him money to build the wall. So who's he kidding? And the Mexicans certainly aren't. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, do you mean Chris from Maryland?
Yes, Chris from Maryland.
Okay.
Hi, how you doing? I have three things. One, I think the president was being very strategic. I think that he caused this rouse purposely to make it open to everybody for the Democrats to get off their butt in Congress, and they have to do something about it. Make Congress work instead of just an executive order. By the way, Vox, V-O-X, is already saying that the executive order may not work, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no,
so
I've seen all that.
I think, though, but
Chris, I don't think, and I actually do think the president was using it sort of as art of the deal strategy, thinking the Democrats would cave on something else. He would backpedal on this because he also did say originally he didn't want kids to be separated. We kind of forget. I think he always knew it was going to end up this way. I think this is what he wanted.
It's called the art of the lie.
Right.
It's not the art of the deal. He lied.
No.
He lied. He is now following the Obama initiative. And you know he is, Chris.
He's not.
Oh,
no,
how is he not if he's reuniting families?
Ah, because Obama turned around and just let them all go into society.
Not the president, right? Okay.
That's the difference.
You keep believing that, Chris. The president did a pirouette. He is now following the Barack Obama initiative. And instead of you saying, I'm disappointed in the president because his strategy didn't work, you had to say, oh, well, you know, this is all part of a bigger plan. Well, let me see. The Republicans control the House. They control the Senate. They control the executive.
And Congress controls the purse strings.
Yeah, and he can't even get his own party on board. But let's blame the Democrats for this. Oh, it's so easy, so convenient to blame the Democrats.
I don't think what Chris was saying, I don't think that there was a plan that it would get the discussion going. I think he wanted the discussion to be longer.
He wants the wall. We're not giving him $25 billion for his wall. The Mexicans aren't going to contribute one peso. Instead of him being honest with us and saying, you've got to solicit your elected officials to give me the $25 billion to build the wall, he won't do that. Why not?
Because he knows that the Democrats will not do it.
Yeah,
they are taking a hard line.
There's plenty of Republicans out there. Let the Republicans. They could give him the money, but you know what? He's not going to ask because he knows they're going to say it yet.
Exactly. He's got problems within his own party, too.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go right to Dave in White Plains. Welcome to WABC, Dave.
Hi, Curtis. I know I'll be quick. I have a solution to the immigrant problem. They're all fleeing violence. Let's just take El Salvador. I think take the Monroe Doctrine and call it an internal quagmire and use our military to eradicate the violence there and allow for us to get rid of the gang violence that everyone seems to be fleeing from there.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a very good idea, Dave, because as long as the gang violence percolates there, people will be fleeing north. Some because they just want to benefit economically, like most, but a lot from the terror that is spread by the gangs. That's a brilliant idea. Maybe Trump will come around to actually implementing that and helping those countries with gang problems that actually started here and drifted down there.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sleeve.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Those that 7 minutes after the hour of two, as I am high atop Madison Square Garden in this great facility provided for our broadcast to all of you on the 50,000-pound for watts of sound by NJDiet.com, Rage Against the Machine in the background, and Rita Cosby is not here today, but she's down in Florida. She'll give us an update on Troopathon momentarily. as you prepare for your broadcast tomorrow, correct, Rita?
Yeah, we're getting ready. I cannot wait, Curtis. It's Troopathon 11, sending care packages to troops and their families. Tomorrow, Newsmax TV and also Facebook Live, 3 to 10 p.m. And we got Iron Mike Tyson. We've got Sean Hannity. We actually have Rush Limbaugh. We also have so many others. We have a Trump family member. We've got Joe Montana, Tony Orlando, Charlie Daniels, Dionne Warwick. This is going to be an all-star cast, all raising money for troops to send care packages to them all over the globe. It is the coolest effort, and everybody go to troopathon.org because you can find out how you can help our troops for like $25. It's a great deal.
Well, here is a tale of two liberal cities. You can't get more liberal than these cities. Our own city of New York, run by Comrade de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope. And if you take the New Jersey Turnpike south, you eventually work your way through Maryland. And before you hit Washington, D.C., you're in the Beltway. You hit Silver Spring, Maryland, known as a very liberal community. And yet, same case, treated completely differently. Let me give you the Silver Spring case. Here is a black woman, Kimberly Jordan. She's about 24 years old. She is on a bus. And she starts screaming that she hates white people and then immediately begins to attack two fellow passengers who happen to be white. There is no hesitation. There is no delay. Kimberly Jordan was charged and arrested for racial harassment, obstructing and secondary assault and a hate crime. That's Silver Spring, Maryland, a very liberal community. And yet think back when we debuted the performance of a hater of our own here in New York City, Rita Cosby, I think it was back on June 5th.
Mm.
It was a African-American woman with her child.
How could we forget?
On a crowded train in which an Asian woman was next to her. And she just broke and went wild from not only assaulting her, threatening her, but obviously being racially biased towards her. I want to play you the audio to remind you. And to this date, City Hall and One Police Plaza has done absolutely jack diddly squat nothing about it.
You know, Ray, because my daughter black, he didn't get up for me. He didn't get up for me. Because my daughter black. Because my daughter black, he didn't get up for me to sue my daughter. What am I saying wrong? What's calm? You play with my kid. That was your kid. You be okay with it? So, you.
Mind your language.
Mind your ass and move it before I kick you. Bitch, I will move you off that seat, Charlie. No, move from the seat, move from my daughter. Push her. Push her. Push her. Get her, bitch. I got a child. Give me my bag. Give me my bag. Don't play with my daughter. That's my child.
Mind your language.
The language.
I'm going to police,
bitch.
Now, she's making a scene in front of a crowded train, which includes, Rita Cosby, grown men who won't even move their eyes in the direction.
Yeah, these, talk about a bunch of wuss bags. Grown men, it's in a packed car, and they do nothing, Curtis. I mean, to me, that is the most outrageous thing. But you hear her, and then you hear the case of Kimberly Jordan. And in this case, this woman, by the way, in Silver Spring, Maryland, Curtis, first, she denies it. She said, oh, the woman, the female passenger, the white female passenger, attacked me first. Well, bus surveillance video showed, no, she just went off on her. And then the bus driver went and said, listen, clearly, this is what I heard. And this woman, if you look at her, this is exactly why Mayor Bill de Blasio needs to clamp down on the ones in our city. Because Jordan had this lengthy arrest record. She had theft. She had, you know, domestic violence, burglary charges in her background, all before this hate crime. These are not stable people. And if you don't crack down, it's going to get worse.
Right. But you see, in the case of Silver Spring, Maryland, they didn't know that about Kimberly Jordan until after she was arrested. The point is that they had the video, they had the confirmation of the bus driver. Clearly, they had the victims who were white women.
Yeah, it was a woman passenger. First, he smacked her, and then she smacked a male passenger.
So it was a slam dunk. But meantime, here in New York City, this case languishes because this African-American woman in addition to being told to mind her language, which was so abusive and offensive towards this Asian woman, and naturally right in the space of her child. Her child is picking up all of these bad habits of her mother. But then she added insult to injury.
Y'all all speak English? Tell her what she did wrong. She put my child out of seat. This ain't your country. Welcome to America.
Calm down.
Gangster, welcome to Brooklyn,
mind
bitch. Welcome to Brooklyn, bitch. Isaiah, get up. Come here.
Yeah.
Come. Out of here. Gonna put my child out of seat. Because my daughter's Spanish. And she's Chinese. You gonna get up for her to sit down.
Come on. Please.
You right out here crazy. Bitch, I'll spit at you. Got me f***ed up. Welcome to America. We ain't f***ing either, bitch.
I mean...
So she's basically saying, get out of my country. She's attacking her because she's an Asian. She ends up pushing her. She's ready to spit on her.
Yeah, and if that's not a hate crime, Curtis, I mean, the fact that there has been crickets in New York City is so disgusting.
Ladies and gentlemen, especially those who have served in law enforcement, please explain to me how this can be. There are always advertisements, PSAs, 1-800 tips. Tip hotline. Can you report this person? If you've seen this person, this video is crystal clear. You can clearly see this woman. She would not be difficult to identify. The New York City Police Department through DCPI has refused to address this situation. And there's no doubt that handcuffing them here is Mayor de Blasio, who probably was brought to his attention. He's always the last to know in the city, even though he's the mayor. And I would bet you that the decision was made from one police plaza by O'Neill, his lapdog, the police commissioner, and obviously the staff of the mayor, not to be take proactive action and to charge this woman with a clear hate crime.
We are America's safest big city.
Yeah, because you're not making arrests for crimes when they're being committed that are on video, where there is audio, where there are witnesses, where there is a clear way to establish that this is a hate crime. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Neil, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Neil.
Hi, Neil.
How you doing? It's the typical. They don't want to go after these little cases like that because it also shows racism on the other side. If it was a white lady who did that to a black person or an Asian person, believe me, it'd be all over the news.
Oh, I know. But, Neil, how dangerous is it for everybody on the subway
if you don't crack down and do this? There's a lot of lowlifes on the train that wouldn't even get up and help that person. I've seen it before. You know, it's not like something you haven't seen. I don't really like to ride subways, but when I do and I see something, it's always something. You know, it's all the time.
I know,
and
but
Curtis should know that from his career.
Neil, you have the trifecta, the troika, the trinity here. You have verbal abuse, threatening her as an Asian,
rape.
Right?
Yeah.
You have pushing her, spitting
assault,
at her.
Assault, everything.
It's a slam dunk and nothing.
Yep. Nope.
We as Guardian Angels, we've given flyers out on this woman. And I know the police have gotten calls on this, and they refuse to do anything. Refused.
Yep. They don't care. They don't want to put it on the paper. They don't want to put it in the TV or on the papers.
But you know what it does, Neil? It makes it dangerous for all of us to be on the subway, because if you don't crack down on this, you have to be fair. And if it happens on the subway, in this case that we saw in New York City, the fact we've heard crickets puts us all at risk.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And not for nothing, Rita, the Asian community, which has united about how Comrade Bill de Blasio and the Department of Education czar Carranza are trying to destroy the elite tests you have to take to get into the elite public high schools, you would think they would have organized around this attack against one of their own. But they're so docile.
Well, and that's
they're
the one
so
thing.
So orderly.
Curtis, it's so funny you say that, because that was going into my mind just now, too. I was thinking the same thing. How come they have not said, hey, wait a minute? But I think it's that also they're worried about retribution. Because the minute one group does that and rises up, then they're worried, I think, about retribution. I think some of it, as you talk about, is their nature. They're definitely more docile.
But I also think
they're worried about some retribution attacks.
In fact, they have to say Just like they said to Eric Adams, the Brooklyn Borough president, who said, oh, no, I support de Blasio in eliminating the specialty tests to get into elite high schools, which would be very damaging to Asian kids. All of a sudden, the Asian said, well, guess what? We're not contributing to any upcoming fundraisers of yours, Eric Adams, Brooklyn Borough president, who wants to become the next mayor over my dead body. And boy, what an epiphany Eric Adams had. Did you see that, Rita?
Yeah, suddenly ka-ching, ka-ching. But you know what also, Curtis? I think everybody needs to be upset about this. I think, you know, you and I are so frustrated about it. We're shouting in. Everybody else needs to come out and say, listen, because if you go on the subways, and you and I are constantly on the subways, you see everybody from all walks of life. It puts everybody in danger. If you don't start cracking down on this, it is going to get worse. And it sends a message that if you're African American, you can do this. Or if you're a different culture, you can do this. It doesn't matter. This is not a black or white issue.
Right.
This is a safety issue.
If you're an Asian, you're a human pinata. Let's go to Bobby in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Bobby?
Curtis, what's up? I'm getting off the belt right now, driving up Rockaway Parkway by Seaview. You used to work at the gas station over there, right?
That's right, the Shell station right there. It used to be Rockies, who had done like 5 years for counterfeiting at a federal institute, and then he hired me to be his night manager.
Sounds like a good group, Curtis.
I work over here in East Flatbush, unfortunately. And, you know, I work in law enforcement. I happen to deal with obnoxious people like that lady on the train on a daily basis. And I would love to see her put in her place for that. It's a shame that no one was man enough to stand up there. But I don't think they could charge her. I'm not defending her.
Why not? Wait a minute, Bobby. How could they not charge her? Give me a break.
For harassment, it's a violation. So
if harassing, threatened to spit somebody, pushing, I think physical touching, that counts.
If somebody calls 911 and they were harassed, we'll take a report for harassment, but if it doesn't reach the threshold of assault, it's not a crime.
Bobby, this video here, this
she
audio,
pushed.
We had
she
to
pushed.
Beep. We had to beep out a lot of it, or we'd be knocked off the air. You could have hit her on so many levels. Let's be honest, Bobby. One police plaza, the mayor's office was made aware of that. They didn't send out an initiative that, hey, let's see if we can bring this woman in for questioning, did they?
And by the way, you know the other thing, Bobby? We didn't even hear the mayor coming out and condemning it. I mean, let not even an arrest. We didn't even hear a verbal condemnation.
I hear you. I don't defend de Blasio for a second. I would love to see her tossed into Central Booking in a heartbeat. But until she reaches that level of assault, until a crime happens, like, the cops' hands are tied. You know what I mean? They can't.
She pushed her. Bobby, you don't understand. She pushed her. That
I
pushing doesn't count. That's assault.
No, it's not assault. Unless you sustain an injury, a shove is only harassment. So, you know, you have the freedom of speech. You could be obnoxious as you want, unfortunately. And if you do shove someone, you don't get arrested for it. Unless the person happens to fall down and get injured.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. Conor McGregor, the UFC champion, gets booked for throwing something at a window in Barclays Center, right? And has to go through the criminal justice system, which is rightfully so. But this woman on film attacks her for being an Asian.
Physically pushed her. Bobby, you know they
talks about
her.
What are you here in my country for? Which right away, if it were another minority, de Blasio would be bent out of shape. Pushes her, spits at her, and nothing happens to her. This is what you call a double standard, Bobby. You see, Bobby is a cop,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, Bobby. And
Bobby's
and
been Bobby's, told.
And
don't
by the way, they
arrests.
Could find a charge. You know that,
right?
Curtis,
don't make arrests. You don't want it to go on the books, because then all of a sudden, if it's assault, oh, it's going to come
we
up.
We are America's safest.
Yeah,
big
phenomenal.
City.
Why don't you stay in Texas down there? Maybe go south to the border, right to Calexico. Or, man, Nuevo Laredo. I mean, so many places that de Blasio could just hang out. And you know something? We would find out. We wouldn't miss him. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's quickly go to Joe from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Giuseppe.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Rita, Curtis. So I moved to Washington Heights back in the day. Not Washington Heights, Morningside Heights. I'm sorry. And I don't have to take the train anymore. I'm so happy because of things like this. But to make a long story short, that ride from 125th Street down to 59th Street in the morning at rush hour, you could be on the zoo. And I'm talking about the early 2000s. I can't even imagine what it's like now. 8 o'clock in the morning, people fighting. You bumped into me, the junior high school kids going absolutely bonkers.
Oh, and listen, I'd love, by the way, Joe, I wish it was just junior high school kids, because now it's these crazy nuts. It's a lot of homeless people. And then you got people like Kimberly Jordan, like the woman here in New York. And I don't think I've ever taken a train ride where everybody in the car was normal. There was always some drama. And I'm thinking, like, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I was out in the subway and I had somebody screaming. It was a guy who was like drunk, and I think he was high, and everybody,
Rita,
just stood there.
I now work in Brooklyn and I live in Queens. I'm so happy that I can get in my car and drive back and forth. It's worth the extra expense and the hassle to find parking.
Yeah, but the problem is time, Joe. We got to take mass transit for time. And also, the city should take care of us. You know, by saying, oh, let's do something else. That's not that. They are swiping their responsibility,
well,
Joe.
After that performance by the mother in front of her child, you know that's not the first time she's done this. That child is growing up in really an abusive relationship. There's no doubt she's turned the guns of Navarone on others and probably her kids and her
relatives.
And guess
what? That Asian's going into shock therapy, I think, Curtis.
Right. But why isn't there a move to take her kids away from her? Right? I mean, we're upset that they're separating children from their mothers at the border.
Right. If there's not a case for it, you're right. This crazy woman, imagine what she does when the cameras are not on, when she's not in public.
Imagine that child exposed to that. A mother who loses control all the time, who's a racist, who's a homophobe, who makes these pejorative remarks, who threatens people, who spits at people, who pushes people. I think this is one of those cases where, yeah, you say, Mom, we're taking your kids away for the welfare of your child so that they can grow up in a much more protected environment than you're offering them. And I'd like to see anybody who would defend the right of that mother to keep her child. But then again, I can assure you that was back on June 5th. It is now, what date, Rita Cosby?
It is the 21st, June 21st. So
June 21st.
Quite a bit of time has passed.
Nothing has happened from City Hall and One Police Plaza. But up next, we're going to talk first what Rita is doing down in Florida for Troopathon, which takes place tomorrow. And then Al Slim, Shady Sharpton, and the National Action Hate Network, like don't have enough to do, are looking to shake down Shimoli's from Sarah Jessica Parker. And the crowd that believes, hey, you shouldn't have to tip. It should be built into the bill you get at the restaurant to begin with.
Chasing it down every day. Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis
Cosby.
77 WABC.
Get past the people. Get past the hitman.
And Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network is at it again, looking to shake down Shimoli's and coin from people like Sarah Jessica Parker, who simply said, hey, I'm in favor of paying a restaurant bill, and with it included would be the tip. You know, it's all built into the bill. This way, I don't have to decide, gee, this server, is she or he worth more money than 20%, 20%, or because the service may be not up to snuff, I'll knock it down to 15 or 12% or 10%. So out of all the things you could be doing in your life, Rita Cosby, what do you think Al Slim Shady Sharpton is going to be doing? Attacking people like Sarah Jessica Parker of Sex in the City and others who have decided that they're going to join the movement to do away with tipping in restaurants because they want it just to be built into the price to begin with.
Well, and Al Sharpton is saying that it really affects communities of color. I mean, I don't think people thought of it as a racist issue, and I don't think Sarah Jessica Parker certainly did when she brought this up. But he says that a lot of these restaurants, because a lot of people are in these communities where they make a lot more money than $15 an hour. And by taking that away and building it in, you are racially profiling Sarah Jessica Parker. I mean, what's interesting, Sarah Jessica Parker talking about bills and all this other stuff. She had a big fundraiser, by the way, where tables went for $50,000.
Oh, my God.
But I don't think she's thinking of it as hurting the African-American community.
But you see, this is what he's going to do. I've seen him do this
so
many times.
He's going to shake him down. You know it.
Right.
He's
going to go to Sarah Jessica Parker and her husband, who obviously are very wealthy, and have a lot of money put away, and God forbid they be called racist because, you know, nobody wants to walk around with that scarlet letter.
But Curtis, you look at it, Sarah,
you know,
Jessica
Matthew
Parker.
Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker are going to huddle and say, let's just make a donation to the National Action Hate Network and make Al Sharpton go away.
But, you know, Curtis, this is just like sort of the whole Starbucks thing. Here is Starbucks, which is such a very racially diverse, you know, organization. They hire so many different people of African-Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, you know, everybody. You bring it up. I mean, they are such, I think, a very liberal, if you will, in so many ways, organization, and yet they got targeted, okay? I know here Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, her husband, both of them do a lot for people in the community. These are not, if you look at their lives, these are not, you wouldn't call them hardcore, you know, racist, anything that they have done. They've tried to give back to New York City in so many ways.
So let me ask the question to our many listeners out there, whether you happen to be in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, or other areas, if you happen to believe that you should do away with tipping in restaurants, the way the Japanese do. You don't tip in Japan at all. It's all built into the price.
And by the way, Curtis, I actually, and I don't think there's a racist part of this, but I will tell you, I don't like someone to tell me this is what you're going to tip them, because the reality is, and you and I have gone to a lot of different restaurants in New York City in our lives. We've been to so many restaurants in the five boroughs, and I would like to have in my control to decide what I'm going to pay somebody in a tip, because there's some really great waiters. And by the way, I'm very generous. If you're a good waiter or waitress, you want me as your client. I'm very good. But if you're a lousy one, you're not going to get that much. Well, I don't like someone to build it in.
Let's find out from our many listeners out there for that. In fact, if you support the movement to do away with tipping in restaurants, it makes you racist, according to Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And I must tell you that if I was serving, let's say as a waiter or a bottle pourer or in any other capacity in a restaurant, let's say a group that Al Slim Shady Sharpton brought in with the National Action Hate Network, I would want the tip to be built into the overall bill, because Al Slim Shady Sharpton is known to be one of the biggest deadbeats alive.
Right, he's a cheapo. Everybody says he's a cheapo. That's why he's relating it to him. You know, that's why. Come on.
It's incredible that he would make it a racist issue, and people don't seem to understand. It has nothing to do about tipping or not tipping. It's a way for him to continue to shake down money and get away with it because his complexion is his protection. But Rita Cosby, let's go to Block first in Pelham. Welcome to WABC. Block.
Hi, Block.
Yeah, my sister lives in Australia, and I went there, and I had a beer in a bar, and I gave the gentleman a tip. He pushed it back and actually got insulted, and he told me that he's a bartender because his father was a bartender and his grandfather was a bartender, and the government there sets the wage. And he said, I'm very proud to be a bartender. He said, please, I don't need your money.
Wow. By the way, I've had the opposite happen, Block, where I've gone to different countries, and I have not been to Australia. It's on my bucket list, by the way, Block. But I've been to many other countries where suddenly I've given a tip, and then I realized later, I was like, God, then I look at the bill, and I go home, and I'm like, wait a minute. There was 20% built in, and then I gave him a tip. I didn't even realize there was a built-in tip that kind of put in the little, like, fine little, tiny little lining, and you end up giving them a 30 or 40% tip, which is unbelievable.
I am so surprised that Friday through Tuesday, you can actually find anyone to work in Australia in any kind of gin mills, bars, or restaurants, because they're deadbeats and slackers. You know, as soon as 5 o'clock hits on Thursday, they don't show up to work on Friday.
Well, it's nice weather. Can you blame them?
They got the Barbie out there, or they're hitting the beach, or they're drinking their all their brewski from Australia that they down in gallons, which is Foster's, you know how they down that.
And they got good wine, though, Curtis. They have some good Australian wine.
Yeah, well, ask Hillary Rodham Clinton about that. She was there to be wine testing. Let's go to Dave in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Dave?
Hey, great show as always, but I have to definitely agree with the reader on this one. It all depends, you know. Sometimes you get bad waitresses or waiters, and instead of doing a 20 or 25%, I'll do a 10. And then if they're good, you know, you have that option to do 20 or 25%.
Yeah, and you know what? There's some people, like, I mean, look at the whole industry. If you think about it, Dave, you get into a taxi. You know, you have the option how much you want to tip somebody. There's some cabs I've been in where they need to pay me. That ride was so bad. And I want to have the jurisdiction because I think it gives them inspiration. Like a waiter, it gives them inspiration. If they know that they got to do really good and be polite, guess what? They're going to do a better job because they know they'll get a better tip. If you take out that incentive, they're going to be like, hey, here's the slop.
Here's Pat in Staten Island. Welcome to WABC, Pat.
Hey, Curtis. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I listen to you all the time. I believe the tip should be put in, but if you want, you can also tip extra. I go out with my friends, and some are good tippers, and some are terrible tippers. And we argue over what we should tip the waitress.
Yeah, so and by the way,
in,
you're
they
right.
Have to do it.
How about this, actually? Actually, here's a good, some places I have been to, they'll say suggested. They make it easy for you. They go, okay, 20%, 25, 30. And sometimes I've even seen one place that I went to, I'll never forget. This was great. I think it was somewhere in California. It said, if you like the waiter, here's this. If you sort of like the waiter, here's what it actually gave you. And we all said, oh, do we like the waiter? Do we not? You know, but you're right. Sometimes it's subjective, but sometimes it's so obvious when they stink.
It's hard though. Some of the waiters and waitresses, they're so busy that they can't be on top of you like some people expect. So
there's no reason to be rude. I hate when you get a rude waiter. Like, I don't mind if you're busy, but don't be rude.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Vernon. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Jimmy?
How are you? Actually, I know, Curtis, you've been up here. The Guardian Angels have been up in Sussex. But TIP actually is an acronym that stands for To Ensure Proper Service.
Yes, bravo. Bravo.
So it is actually, if you had TIP, when you come back, you get good service. When you don't, you get lousy service. So you need to leave it alone.
I agree with you, Jimmy. I agree, because you know what? It takes away the incentive for them to do a good job. If they think they're automatically getting 20, you kidding me? That's like half of the New York City teachers that, you know, they can sit there and not have to worry about anything. They got a nice little cushy gig, and no one's going to know the difference.
Let's go to Steve in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Stevie?
Hey. Rita, I agree with you that it should be up to you based on the performance of the waiter or waitress. But my question also, do you base it on the net bill, your percentage, or the total with tax?
Ah, that's a good point. You know what? I probably do it, you're right, with the total with tax. I'm actually a very generous tipper if the waiter or waitress is good. But if they're not good, I do kind of moderate. I feel bad because I feel like waiters and waitresses have, it's hard work. So I never like don't give anything, but I can be a little frugal if they're really bad, but I'm usually pretty generous.
Let's quickly go to Scott in Oyster Bay. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Scotty.
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. When you're in a world city like New York, especially Manhattan, and you've talked about different countries have different tipping, you know, issues. I think you got to build it in because there are some tourists who come there, they don't leave anything at all because that's not what they're used to. So, especially in Manhattan, I think you got to build it in.
But you know what? You're right. Different customs. There are some people who don't automatically know they got a tip. And I remember I've been with, you know, friends from Europe or whatever. They're like, what are you doing? You're giving 15%. I'm like, they were really good. And they'll give like $1 or $2 in Europe. A lot of places, they do not tip. But what if it's a lousy waiter? I don't think they deserve much. What inspiration
what
are
about,
you giving them?
What about if it's a deadbeat like Al Slim Shady Sharpton who never tips?
That's
who,
right.
Who says, you want a tip? Guess what? I'm not a handicapper. I don't handicap horse races. You get ubats. You get bupkis.
But he's the expert, Curtis. I love that he's the expert on this. My goodness.
He's looking to shake down Sarah Jessica Parker and obviously her rich husband. But anyway, up next, Rita, you got to give us the idea of why you're in Florida today, broadcasting to all of us here, high atop Madison Square Garden, and what the whole concept of Troopathon is. Today, I'm high atop Madison Square Garden, and Rita Cosby is down in Florida to host, as she does each and every year, the Troopathon, What exactly is that, Rita, and how can people listening to us right now help in that effort?
Well, Curtis, this is going to be amazing. I know you're going to be a part of it, and we have so many other great folks. We got Governor Mike Huckabee. We got Bill O'Reilly, Charlie Daniels, Mike Tyson, Dionne Warwick. The list goes on and on. Nancy Grace, Laura Ingraham. All of it is a huge telethon. It's going to take place tomorrow. That's why I'm here in Florida. And it's all to honor our troops and raise money to send care packages to troops around the globe. And so many times you go, gosh, how can I help? What can I do? This is a really easy, affordable way. And all these celebrities and these great who's who have joined forces because it's to send these care packages to troops who are literally thousands of miles away. Many of them never get a package, never get a letter, never get things. And this is a way to say, we love you, we care. And it's basic items. It's like Gatorade, beef jerky, shavers, gourmet coffee, a lot of things that you and I, you know, we take it for granted every day, Curtis. But for these troops, it means the world. It lets them know that America's not forgotten. And for our listeners, go to troopathon.org. It's only $25 to get a care package. You can also get one for dogs because they are also serving on the front lines as well. They're K-Packs, doggy K-Packs, and they only cost about the same amount. You can send dog goggles. Very, very cute. They're called doggles. And so it's a great way to help our furry warfighters as well as our human warfighters. And also tomorrow, everybody, tune in because it will be 3 to 10 p.m. We're broadcasting here live out of Florida, out of Boca, at a Newsmax TV headquarters. And also you can see it on Facebook Live, and it will be all over the place tomorrow. But this is a great way to help our troops and let them know that we love and we care about them. So go to troopathon.org right now. It's also 1-844-2-TROOPS if you want to call in. But it's a great way to give back. And Curtis, I love it. You know how much I love the troops. I know you do, too. And for me, this is the greatest broadcast every year to just tell them. And we get messages from troops all over the globe who say, thank you. Thank you for letting the world know that we are still there fighting on the front lines. We forget so many times that we have young men and women, so many of them who are there on multiple deployments. And to send them a letter or a care package to me just puts the biggest smile on my face.
Well, actually, you're not away. You're in Boca Raton, the sixth borough of the city of New
York. Yes, I am. By the way, I'm seeing a lot of New Yorkers who are like, are you going to be on with Curtis today? They've been all cheering me on here in Boca. It is the sixth borough.
Great work. I hope to join you tomorrow if the cops haven't locked me up in Staten Island for basically telling the thugs on Bay Street and Victory Boulevard, you give me beef, I'll bust your teeth, because I got to do what the Guardian Angels got to do what the NYPD won't.